There is grace in salvation. There is grace for daily living. And yes, there will be new grace when it's our time to go home to heaven. Again today, let's turn to the epistle of 1 John, the first epistle of John, 1 John chapter 2. This morning, we're going to be looking at verses 3 through 6. Last Sunday, we looked in the first two verses and we found where it says that Jesus Christ is our advocate with our Father in heaven. He is like our trial lawyer who advocates or pleads our case before the Father in heaven, who is the judge of all. And we find that not only is He our advocate, He's also our propitiation. That means that He was our sacrifice for our sin. When we stand before the judge of all of the earth, we stand righteous in His presence through the shed blood of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. When God the Father looks at us, He looks at us through the blood of Christ. And because of that, the imputed righteousness of Christ is that which allows us to stand before the Lord. Now we want to look in verses 3 through 6, where we find in verse number 3, the question being asked, and hereby, or a statement being made, and hereby we do know that we know Him if we keep His commandments. And I would phrase the subject for today's lesson as, how do we know that we know Him? How do we know that we know Him? Let us pray. Kind Heavenly Father, as we bow in Thy presence, we pray that we can learn more today about how we can know that we really and truly know You and have a personal relationship with You. Now, O Father, I pray the Holy Spirit would be our guide, that the Holy Spirit would give us a ready turn of thought, and that You would allow us liberty in the study of Thy Word. I thank You for the good song service that You blessed us with, and how that we do have that blessed assurance that Jesus is mine. Now, Father, bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. How do we know that we know Him? Well, the short answer is given to us here in our text in verse 3. By this, or hereby, we do know that we know Him if we keep or obey His commandments. In other words, if we have a heartfelt desire to keep God's Word, that is an evidence to us and also to those around us that we have been touched by the amazing grace of Almighty God. If there's a person out in the world who's living in sin and wickedness, having no desire to do that which is right, we don't see an evidence of God's working in their heart. Now, that's not to say that He won't or that He hasn't. But when we in our own spirit have a desire to do that which is right before the Lord, that is an assurance in our own life and an evidence to others around us that we are a child of God. Notice I used the word assurance just now, and you find there actually in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 19 where he uses the word assure. Now, if you go back in verse 18, 1 John chapter 3 and verse 18, John said, "My little children, Remember, that's how He called us in the very first verse there of chapter 2. My little children, let us not love in word or word only, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. That is, that we would love one another in the keeping and in the performing of His commandments or of His word. And then He says in verse 19, when we do that, and hereby or by this, we know that we are of the truth. In other words, it gives us an assurance and shall assure our hearts before Him. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. There's lots of scriptures in the Word of God that have that phrase, keeping His commandments. For example, before Moses died and Joshua would succeed Moses to bring God's people of Israel into the promised land, the Lord said through Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 30 and verse 16 these words, in that I command thee this day, Moses told Israel, I command thee this day to love the Lord thy God. Love Him. To walk in His ways. And to keep His commandments and His statutes and His judgments. Why? That thou mayest live and multiply, and the Lord thy God shall bless thee in the land whither thou goest to possess it. That one verse in the Old Testament summarizes, in my understanding, what we must be doing as God's children in order to assure our hearts before Him that we know Him. That is, that we love Him supremely. Remember how Jesus summarized the Ten Commandments. He said, love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. And He also said, love one another as I have loved you. Love the Lord your God. And then He says to walk in His ways. Now, we're going to say more about that toward the end of the message in verse 6. But to keep His commandments. Now, we know while we're living in this life that we'll never be able to keep His commandments perfectly because we're still sinners. We still have the carnal nature about us. But we also have the nature of Christ living in our heart. The power of the Holy Spirit indwells our very being. So through that power, we have the ability given to us by the Lord to do that which is right and well-pleasing in His sight. So we do have the God-given ability to strive more and more to keep or obey His commandments, to do that which He would have us to do. And as we do those things, it gives us blessed assurance to know that Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. There's another one in Ecclesiastes, a very familiar verse. The wise man Solomon summarizes the whole matter of Ecclesiastes by saying this in the last verse, chapter 12 and verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep His commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. In a summary, if we fear Him and keep His commandments, that is our entire duty. that we should be about as God's child. So, hereby we do know that we know Him, that we have an intimate, heartfelt, personal love relationship with Him if we keep His commandments. You also probably remember Jesus in the Gospel of John repeatedly taught that very same message, how that if you love me, keep my commandments. That's what Jesus taught his disciple over and over again. If you love me, keep my commandments. And notice now what John says next in verse number 4. He that says, I know him, yet keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him. Now, bear in mind that it is certain that John's epistle is written to God's children. And as a child of God, there are times in our lives when we may not be abiding in the truth or keeping it. And if we say that we know Him, that our fellowship with Him is what it ought to be, yet we're not doing what He commands us to do, then we're liars. First, we are deceiving our own selves, and secondly, the truth is not in us. Remember back in chapter 1 and verse number 8 of 1 John, he says that very same thing. That if we say that we have no sin, then we're deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. So this another way of saying, if we simply say with our lips or with our words that we're keeping His commandments, but yet we're not doing those things that He would have us to do, then we are liars, we're deceiving ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Now, Jesus said in the Gospel of John, chapter 14, I am the way, the truth, and the life. So if the truth is not in us, that means the fellowship of Christ is not close to our heart. Then he says in verse 5, but however, on the other hand, whoso keepeth his word, in him verily or truly is the love of God perfected. Now that word perfected does not mean sinless. Here it means complete, to bring to fruition. In other words, or a consummation. God's love in our heart, our love for Him, and we love Him because He first loved us, 1 John 4:19, that love is consummated when we keep His commandments or keep His word. And so it is, that is what we find. And I just mentioned a moment ago that Jesus Himself said the very same thing in John chapter 14, 15, and 16. For example, He said in 14:21, He that hath my commandment and keeps them, he it is that loves me. And he that loves me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. And he says again in 23, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him. And we, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the Trinity, we will come unto, not into, but rather unto him, and make our abode with him. That's talking about our fellowship with him. Remember, the overall subject of John's first chapter is fellowship with the Father. Remember, he says in verse 3 of chapter 1, "That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that we also may have fellowship with us." Truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. And that fellowship is not going to be there if we're walking in disobedience to His Word or to His commandments. And so, the test of that fellowship, the evidence of the assurance in our own heart, is that we keep His commandment. And His commandments are not grievous. And so we find these are things that we're commanded to do. Then he says in our verse 6, "He that saith that he abides in him ought himself also to walk even as Jesus walked." He walked. If we say with our words that we are abiding in Christ, then our actions must line up with what we're saying. Now, the old saying is, if we talk the talk, we must do what? Walk the walk. Because it's not enough simply to talk the talk. We can't just say we love Him. We have to show that we love Him through helping one another and serving each other. And so if we're committed to Him, if we say that we're abiding in Him, and then there's the word ought. Now this word here, ought, carries the idea not just that we should do this, or that it's optional, or that we may or might do it. It carries with it the obligation to do it. It really means in the Greek language that we have a debt that we owe, and we're obligated to pay that debt. Now, Jesus paid a debt that you and I could never pay when He shed His blood on Calvary's cross. But we have a debt to pay as we live in this life. And it is that we are to give our all in all in our service to the Master. We ought to walk even as He walked. Now that's the idea of following in the footsteps of Jesus. That's what Jesus taught His disciples. He taught them, "Follow Me, and I will make you fishers of men. Come after Me." He repeatedly taught that message. For example, in Matthew chapter 16, He says this. I believe it's around verse 24. He says, "And if any man will come after Me," that is, if any man will follow Me, walk after Me, that is, if any man will walk as I walk, then let him, number one, deny himself. We cannot walk as Jesus walked. Now, how did Jesus walk? He walked in humility, and He walked in meekness. But He walked in the power of the Holy Spirit. And as He went, He served the needs of God's people. And so that's how we also are to walk. And we can't do it if number one is still our main priority. So we have to first deny ourselves. Secondly, we have to take up His cross. Now, Jesus had a cross to bear that we could not bear. But we also have a cross that we are to take up daily. It is the cross of self-denial. The cross of self-denial. Deny self. Take up our cross and follow Him. Follow after Him. For Jesus said that whoever will save his life shall lose it. But whosoever will lose his life for my sake shall find it. I believe that's telling us that if we lay aside ourselves, then we're going to find peace and joy in following Him. But if we insist on putting ourselves first, then we might lose the joys of our salvation. And so it is. We need to walk as He walked. Now, Paul, in many of his letters, speaks about walking as Christ walked. For example, in Galatians chapter 5, he says in verse 16, "This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh." So that's how we walk. We follow after Jesus by walking in the Spirit. And when we are following after the leadership of the Holy Spirit, we're not going to be fulfilling the desires of our carnal flesh. He says in verse 25 that if we live in the Spirit, that we should also then walk in the Spirit. Now, for a verse that we sometimes leave off when we're quoting Ephesians chapter 2, verses 8 and 9, is verse number 10. But it's what we are to be doing. "For we are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works." And that is telling us to keep His commandments, "which God hath before ordained that we should do" what? "That we should walk in them." That we should follow after good works. That we need to walk in that path. Paul then says in Ephesians chapter 5, Ephesians 5 and 2, we are to walk in love, just like Christ loved us. He loved us with a love that was willing to lay down His life for His brethren. And we should have that same kind of love in our heart for the Lord and toward one another, that we're willing to lay ourselves aside for the good of God's people. So He said, "Walk in love as Christ also has loved us." And how, what did He do? He gave Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. We're to do the same thing. We're also to give ourselves an offering and a living sacrifice to God, which will be a sweet smelling savor before the Lord. Paul says in Colossians 4 and 5 that we should be walking in wisdom toward those that are without, those in the world. Walk wisely. Don't walk as fools, but rather redeem the time, because the days are evil. We find that we mentioned a couple of Sundays ago in 1 John chapter 1 when he says, "Don't let us not walk in darkness, but rather walk in the light. For when we walk in the light, then we have fellowship, not just with God, but also with one another." John said in his third epistle, in verse 4, he said, "I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth." It would bring joy to his heart to know that the children he wrote to were walking in the truth. And it brings joy to the heart of Jesus when we are walking after Him. So we are to do these things today. So this message today is a message concerning our own responsibility. Yes. We believe in salvation by God's grace. There's nothing that can be added to it. There's nothing that can be taken away from it. But while we're living in this life, there is much required of us that we are to be doing. And so how can we know that we know Him? If we keep His commandments. And then as we close, if you look over in chapter 5, blessed assurance, verse 13. 1 John 5 and 13. Why did John write this letter? He said this, "These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God." In other words, he wrote this letter to God's children who believe, that you may know that you have eternal life. That is, that we might have assurance that we know that we belong to Him, and that we may believe on the name of the Son of God. That our belief in Him, that our faith in Him would grow stronger every day. So let us remember that it gives us great assurance before Him. God bless you is my prayer for Christ's sake.